So today is January 9th, 2020, and we're in Module 27. This is class number 4 in that module, and it's going to focus on Tonglen, which is a meditation practice, a compassion practice, a way to work with what we're struggling with and bring compassion to it. And so in the middle of class, in the middle of this piece, we're going to do an actual Tonglen practice. It's different than the ones we've done here before, partly because we already have a very wonderful recording. Emily does an amazing job of teaching this and doing it, and I thought it would be interesting to bring another approach to people, for people to see other ways that this is done, because I think one of the universal pieces of what is taught in any kind of Buddhism is, how do you bring your compassion out into the world? How does that actually manifest in a way that changes something, as opposed to just making yourself feel better by saying, I'm a bodhisattva, I'm compassionate, I'm helping. What does it look like to try to bring this out? And so I do like Pema Chodron's book. We're not going to use her style of Tonglen. So I actually decided that we would start by reading from the chapter. So the chapter, this is from the book, Start Where You Are. This chapter is called Start Where You Are. So it's the main one. And I'll just read the first paragraph. There are many different labelings on paragraphs, but we're going to read just the first 8 paragraphs. We'll pass it around, so I'll read the first. So there are 2 slogans that go along with the Tonglen practice. Sending and taking should be practiced alternately. These two should ride the breath, which is actually a description of Tonglen and how it works, and begin the sequence of sending and taking with yourself. So Michael, are you okay reading paragraph 2?
The slogan, begin the sequence of sending and taking with yourself, is getting at the point that compassion starts with making friends with ourselves, and particularly with our poisons, the messy areas. As we practice Tonglen, taking and sending, and contemplate the Lojong slogans, gradually it begins to dawn on us how totally interconnected we all are. Now people know that what we do to the rivers in South America affects the whole world, and what we do to the air in Alaska affects the whole world. Everything is interrelated, including ourselves. So this is very important, this making friends with ourselves. It is the key to a more sane and compassionate planet.
What you do for yourself, any gesture of kindness, any gesture of gentleness, any gesture of honesty and clear seeing towards yourself will affect how you experience your world. In fact, it will transform how you experience the world. What you do for yourself, you're doing for others, and what you do for others, you're doing for yourself. When you exchange yourself for others in the practice of Tonglen, becomes increasingly uncertain what is out there and what is in here.
If you have rage and righteously act it out and blame it all on others, it's really you who suffers. The other people and the environment suffer also, but you suffer more because you're being eaten up inside with rage, causing you to hate yourself more and more.
We act out because, ironically, we think it will bring us some relief. we equate it with happiness. Often there is some relief for the moment. When you have an addiction and you fulfill that addiction, there is a moment in which you feel some relief. Then the nightmare gets worse. So it is with aggression. When you get to tell someone off, you might feel pretty good for a while. But somehow, the sense of righteous indignation and hatred grows, and it hurts you. It's as if you pick up hot coals with your bare hands and throw them at your enemy. If the coals happen to hit him, he will be hurt. But in the meantime, you are guaranteed to be burned.
On the other hand, if we begin to surrender ourselves, begin to drop the storyline, and experience what all this messy stuff behind the storyline feels like, we begin to find bodhicitta, the tenderness that's under all that harshness. By being kind to ourselves, we become kind to others. By being kind to others, if it's done properly with proper understanding, we benefit as well. So the first point is that we are completely interrelated. What you do to others, you do to yourself. What you do to yourself, you do to others.
Start where you are. This is very important. Tonglen practice and all meditation practice is not about later when you get it all together and you're this person who you totally respect. You may be the most violent person in the world. That's a fine place to start. That's a very rich place to start. Juicy, smelly. You might be the most depressed person in the world. The most addicted person in the world, the most jealous person in the world. You might think that there are no others on the whole planet who hate themselves as much as you do. All of that is a good place to start, just where you are. That's the place where to start.
As we begin to practice Shamatha
Vipassana.
Meditation, following our breath and labeling our thoughts, we can gradually begin to realize how profound it is just to let those thoughts go, not rejecting them, not trying to repress them, but just simply acknowledging them as violent thoughts, thoughts of hatred, thoughts of wanting, thoughts of poverty, thoughts of loathing, whatever they may be. We can see it all as thinking and can let thoughts go and begin to feel what's left. We can begin to feel the energy of our heart, our body, our neck, our head, our stomach, that basic feeling that's underneath all of the story lines. If we can relate directly with that, then all of the rest is our wealth. When we don't act out and we don't repress, then our passion, our aggression, and our ignorance become our wealth. The poison already is the medicine. You don't have to transform anything. Simply letting go of the storyline is what it takes, which is not that easy. That light touch of acknowledging what we're thinking and letting it go is the key to connecting with this wealth that we have. With all the messy stuff, no matter how messy it is, just start where you are, not tomorrow, not later, not yesterday when you were feeling better, but now. Start now, just as you are.
Okay, we're going to stop there for now. Thank you all. So, I wanted to share a little bit about my own experience with Tonglen, that when the group was fairly new, Maybe we had moved up to meeting more than twice a month. I had a pretty catastrophic experience that the program I teach in, one of our students left school after having a tough day, but we thought she was okay, and it wasn't okay. By the end of the day, she had killed herself. And it was just such a painful experience. And I, at some point, spoke to Emily and said, I can't sit down and meditate and just sort of try to watch my breath, because I can't do that anymore right now. And so Emily was just so kind and taught me Tonglen and gave me a book about Tonglen to sort of sit with both your own pain and the pain of others, okay? And that really awareness of that. And it was really an incredible gift, because it really was, I was like, the sitting there, all I could think about was how sad I was and how horrible this was. And there was no meditation in that. There was just struggle. And so I've done that, been doing Tonglen, not on a regular basis, but during certain periods. And very recently I had another experience that caught me again. You know, you're doing things and you think you kind of know what you're doing, and you think you understand what you're practicing, and I'm working with teachers and I'm reading books and I'm learning all these things, and then you suddenly, just during the day, something, you go, oh, now I get this in a way that I never did before. And it was just a few months ago that turned out I had both, one of my supervisors and one of my colleagues had parents who were suddenly very ill. And so I was at home and I got an email about the colleague's mother being very ill and in hospice care. And my immediate reaction was, that's so sad, it reminds me of how sad I feel about my mother, having that happen to her, and how that felt for me. And I just started to feel sad for myself, and how sad that made me feel, and oh, I'm just so sad about this. And then I had this moment where I suddenly like woke up, like, oh, my sitting and feeling bad for myself, that's just me getting caught up in enjoying, like, feeling bad about something that happened to me. You know, it's just kind of a crazy thing to enjoy, but we all have our own crazy things we like to do that we're like, what? Why was that fun? Didn't seem like fun, but... And just in the moment, literally sitting there, I was suddenly like, this is when you do Tonglen. And I literally just started breathing, you know, in that sense of what it would be like to be my friend, and trying to send to her the wish that she should just, you know, have less pain, be able to be with what was happening. And it was sort of this just like moment of, oh, I get it, in a way they had not before. That's some of the power of it. And it's that power of, Pema says, sort of just like me. That sense when I'm suffering. That it's not, my suffering is special. It's more that there are so many people, and once I have that suffering, which, you know, I don't have any choice for most of the suffering that comes our way. We may wallow in it, but we don't seek it. Most of us are not seeking it out. Let me walk around and wait for a terrible thing to happen to someone I love, or for myself to have a terrible injury or whatever. But we have that sense of, oh, this is a really hard thing, and now I get what this is like. Now I have a small sense. And sometimes you can even feel like there are people who struggle with this a lot more than I am, that maybe they're a younger person, and the parent who's very ill is the parent who earned money for the house, so that people would have food and a place to live. Oh, that would be even scarier then and more difficult to deal with. So it's kind of that sense of having a way to connect. And for me, that was just like, oh, that's the sort of power of the practice. A few more paragraphs we're going to read. Let me see. These are short, I think. So we read, let's see, A, B, C, D, E. So we'll start with Susan. So paragraph A, wherever that's labeled.
Okay. Having said all that, now I'll talk about Tonglen. I've noticed that people generally eat up the teachings, but when it comes to having to do Tonglen, they say, oh, it sounded good, but I didn't realize you actually meant it. In its essence, this practice of Tonglen is, when anything is painful or undesirable, to breathe it in. That's another way of saying you don't resist it. You surrender to yourself. You acknowledge who you are. You honor yourself. As unwanted feelings and emotions arise, you actually breathe them in and connect with what all humans feel. We all know what it is to feel pain in its many guises.
This breathing in is done for yourself in the sense that it's a personal and real experience, but simultaneously, there's no doubt that you're at the same time developing your kinship with all beings. If you can know it in yourself, you can know it in everyone. If you're in a jealous rage and it occurs to you to actually breathe it in rather than blame it on someone else, if you get in touch with the arrow in your heart, it's quite accessible to you at that very moment that there are people all over the world feeling exactly what you're feeling. This practice cuts through culture, economic status, intelligence, race, religion. People everywhere feel pain. Jealousy, anger, being left out, feeling lonely. Everybody feels that way. Everybody feels that exactly the way you feel. The storylines vary, but the underlying feeling is the same for all of us.
By the same token, if you feel some sense of delight, if you connect with what for you is inspiring, opening, relieving, relaxing, you breathe it out, you give it away, you send it out to everyone else. Again, it's very personal. It starts with your feeling of delight, your feeling of connecting with a bigger perspective, your feeling of relief or relaxation. If you're willing to drop the storyline, you feel exactly what all other human beings feel. It's shared by all of us. In this way, if we do the practice personally and genuinely, it awakens our sense of kinship with all beings. Paragraph D.
The other thing that's very important is absolute bodhicitta. In order to do Tonglen, we first establish the ground of absolute bodhicitta, because it's important that when you breathe in and connect with the vividness and reality of pain, there's also some sense of space. There's that vast, tender, and this is crossed out, empty heart of bodhicitta, your awakened heart. Right in the pain, there's a lot of room, a lot of openness. You begin to touch in on that space when you relate directly to the messy stuff. Because by relating directly with the messy stuff, you are completely undoing the way ego holds itself together.
Just that next.
We shield our heart with an armor woven out of very old habits of pushing away pain and grasping at pleasure. When we begin to breathe in the pain instead of pushing it away, we begin to open our hearts to what's unwanted. when we relate directly in this way to the unwanted area of our lives, the airless room of ego begins to be ventilated. In the same way, when we open up our clenched hearts and let the good things go, radiate them out and share them with others, that's also completely reversing the logic of ego, which is to say, reversing the logic of suffering. Lojong logic is the logic that transcends the messy and unmessy, transcends pain and pleasure. Lojong logic begins to open up the space, and it begins to ventilate this whole cocoon that we find ourselves in. Whether you are breathing in or breathing out, you are opening the heart, which is awakening bodhicitta.
So Pema has a version of this practice in here that she describes, and if you have the book or if you, again, Emily did a really beautiful version of this a few years ago, right? So I know the recording was up on the site, so I felt like it would be interesting to try something different. So this is, So this is a version that was presented by Lama Willa Miller, who's with the Natural Dharma Fellowship, as part of the Year of Study of Bodhicitta, of Awakened Heart. And so I want to just talk about a few things that are in the meditation that are a little different than some of the things we normally do, just so people, when it comes up, you have, oh, okay, that's the thing Elise mentioned. So this one we're going to do when we're breathing in, we're going to have a sense of some space in our hearts. And the way she expresses, you feel the sky opening at your heart center. So having a sense of the space is actually like the sky. I don't know how many people saw the moon as it was coming up. And just, you know, I think that sense of sort of there's all that space around the moon. Like, and I just, I knew it was almost full, and I walked out of school to go for a walk at about 4, and I turned a corner, and I sort of, like, I started, because it was just like, wow, look at that, you know, and sort of that feeling of, like, there's just, that's there, like, to have that sense of this beautiful moon in the sky could be your sense of this space in your heart, you know, it's not all tied up. And and then the way that they end many of the meditations is the idea of letting go at the end into the natural sky-like awareness. So thinking of just your awareness as not being this confined little, I'm looking at everything, but I'm taking in everything and sort of releasing any of what you've been doing. So the practice is going to ask you to focus on a particular thing that's bothering you now. And generally speaking, the recommendation is when you're doing this in a group of people, particularly for the first time, do not pick the most challenging, difficult, horrible, depressing, excruciating thing going on for you now. You know, so it's the practice might say pick something that's difficult, you know, and just to remember there are levels of difficult. Difficult is this really bothers me every day and I wish it would stop. You know, the neighbor who does something that's a little aggravating. You know, and then there's like, you know, ExxonMobil is killing the planet. That might be more than you want to take on in the 20 minutes that we're going to be practicing here. If that's you know, so as sort of you think about it, sort of to think of, and there's time to think of it in the practice, but to just have a sense of, you know, sort of as we're sitting here, like what's something that's bothering me enough that I would want to sit with it and think about it, but not so much that I might stand up and start going, I can't take it. Like, Was that, what was that in the movie?
That movie.
I'm mad as hell. So not so you want to get up and throw your TV set out the window over this, whatever that is.
It doesn't have to be something we're angry about, does it?
Well, something that's difficult. Something
well, but that's not always angry. It's not, funny because I was thinking of something that's I'm not angry about. It's really overwhelming. I mean,
yeah. However, it doesn't have to be anger.
Anything that you're
anything that you're struggling with in your life now.
And
so
it can
that
be big if you want, but it doesn't have to be.
Right, but also just to have that sense of that, you know, if it's going to stir you up so much that it's really hard to sit here, then this maybe isn't the location to do that.
We're not all like you.
What?
We are all the same.
No, we are all.
Okay. We are all.
Okay, so
whatever.
So again, I'm not recording the meditation.